with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Chapter 2, and Anna prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Just further down, notice please, will you? Verse 10, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. Now further down, please, the chapter, down into chapter 2, and I want you to read verse 18 with me. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now come down to verse 21. And the Lord visited Anna so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now we do trust that God will bless his precious word. In chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, we have the convictions that surrounded the birth of Samuel. But in chapter 2, we have the conditions that surrounded the childhood of Samuel. And as we think tonight of his mother and her burden and care for Samuel, we have truly a mother with an exercise in dark days. She lived in a difficult time, in a time of transition from the judges to the kings. She lived in a time of darkness and departure as far as the nation was concerned. Think of her desolation. Quite a thing for a Jewish woman not to have a child. I want to think very simply and practically of this dear woman, Anna, tonight in four ways. I want to think, dear fellow believer, of her sacrifice. In chapter 1, verse 24 to the end, her sacrifice. I want you to think with me in chapter 2 of her song, really a prayer. Not only a prayer, but a prophecy. For in verse 10, she looks forward in anticipation to God's King, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a spiritually intelligent woman she was in this song. She looks up to God. Read it through, you will discover she looks back to creation and God creating the world. In verse 10, she looks forward to the coming of God's King, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a song. Her sacrifice, her song. Then I thought in chapter 2, we read and verse 18 and 19 of her sewing. What was she sewing in the home as she anticipated the yearly visit to Shiloh to see Samuel? Why, she was sewing that coat. And of course, she expected each yearly visit, giving him that present, that he would grow and that he had developed. Think of her sewing, her sacrifice, her song, her sewing. And then think in chapter 2 with me, please, and verse 21 of her seed. We read, "And the Lord visited Anna so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters." How wonderful. God gave her increase by lending Samuel in chapter 1 to the Lord. She was not a loser. God is no man's debtor. And God gave her, as we will see, a 500% increase. How wonderful. Just before I touch on these 4 things concerning Anna, one thing has impressed me in the section that I'm dealing with briefly in ministry tonight. It is the 7 references, including chapter 3 and verse 1, to the child. 7 times over, we read in 1 Samuel 1, chapter 2, and 3:1 of the child Samuel. The nation is dark and apostate, and there's much departure. How wonderful that God communicates with his people through a little child. And one thing we will learn from these chapters and these references to Samuel as a little child is this: God's interest in a little child. And what God in the formative years can do with a little child. Are you thinking, as I am thinking just now, of Paul's words? "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." We have the privilege of this child brought up by a godly mother in the home. What a privilege. Young believer, tonight, thank God for the tremendous advantage and privilege of being brought up in a Christian home. How easy to take it for granted. Bless God for your parents. Not only Samuel's privilege, but Samuel's progress. And Samuel's preparation for his future ministry. Not only that, but in verse number 18 of chapter 2, I suggest we have Samuel's purity. Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Priestliness marks him. A linen ephod. That's exceptional. The priesthood was corrupt and defiled. A linen ephod. Underlining the thought of purity. My, what a contrast this is, beloved, to the terrible conditions of the day. To the wickedness of the sons of Eli and what they were doing. Here's a little child, if you will, pure, ministering to the Lord. Our young people, our children in the home today, how they need to be pure more than ever and kept clean for God. And this is a great concern of parents today, isn't it? Young fellow at university, scoffed at very often, made a public example of because he was a Christian, by this so-called learned professor.
said to him one day in front of the class, "The Bible, anyway, is an immoral book." You know what the young fellow replied? "What is it, Stanislaus?"
"Sir, if the Bible's an immoral book, I would expect immoral people to read it and to love it."
He was speechless. Thank God for the integrity and the purity of the Word of God. And did not the psalmist say, "Thy word is very pure"? "Therefore, thy servant loveth it." And did not Paul say to Timothy, "Keep thyself pure"? My, I think it's lovely. And so encouraging to see this little child, Samuel. Such a contrast in his little life, how it was shaped in the home wing for perhaps 3 years, how he ministered, prepared in the tabernacle there, and here he is, pure. Lovely to think about this little child, Samuel. He ministered unto the Lord. My brother, my sister, is our service today, challenging question, really and truly unto the Lord? Or do we have our own ends in view? Are we merely serving the brethren? Or is our service in all blessed reality and consecration truly as unto the Lord? As was the case with Samuel. What about Hannah and her exercise and her sacrifice at the end of this chapter? I think it's lovely. "For this child," she says, "I prayed. Before he was born, he was prayed for." Isn't it great to think that a praying mother produced a praying Samuel? It is true, in many ways, that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And we cannot overemphasize tonight in the ministry the value, the importance of the Christian home and children being brought up in the nurture and fear of the Lord. You know, I want to tell you this. It took some courage on the part of Anna, did it not? To leave her child, Samuel, in the environment of this temple, with all the goings-on of the sons of Eli and the wickedness. You say, "My, why did she do that?" Here's a woman that has faith in God. That no matter what the circumstances and the conditions were, she leaves the consequences with God. That's the point. She lets or leaves room for God to take over. Sometimes I talk to parents up and down the country and they're at their wit's end and they look to me for advice. Sometimes I can help, sometimes I can't. I do my best. I pray with them, give what counsel I can. The home has been attacked today very, very much. The devil is diametrically opposed to the Christian home. When I think of Anna, what faith she had. She let God take over, and God did the work with that child. We might be at our wits' end. I've talked to the most godly parents. And they've said to me, where, John, have we gone wrong? We've taken them to the meetings. We've read the scriptures to them. And we've told them about the Lord Jesus from early days. And we've done our very best to bring them up in the things of the Lord. Now there they are in the world, far away as possible. And it's so grieving and we hardly have a night's sleep. It's very real. Told one sister, "You know, God has felt like this.
For we read in Isaiah chapter 1, God says,
I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. How do you think that God, the God of eternity, Jehovah, looked upon his people, who he had brought up, as it were, as children, selected them from all the nations, and brought them up, and blessed them, and did great things for them? What a wonderful commencing history they had. And yet they let God down, and grieved him, and murmured against him, and rebelled against him. Oh, how it grieved God and displeased him, and how he felt it. Sometimes in the home it takes a bit of courage and wisdom, doesn't it? And I marvel at the wisdom and the courage in particular of dear Aunt. I want to just drive home the point that our brother, he didn't have time to develop it, just very briefly. It's this. For at least I take it 3 years. Among the Jews, the third year was the weaning time. The child is fully weaned. For at least 3 years. Here's the sacrifice of dear Anna. She forfeited the privilege of gathering with God's people at Shiloh. That was a great cost to her. She obviously loved the divine center.
But in order to fulfill her trust to Samuel, the child of her prayers, she stays at home and misses the privilege of gathering with God's people in the temple at Shiloh.
What a godly woman. You know, there's many sisters, many young mothers, miss many meetings. It is a sacrifice. My dear mother, spend what time you can with your child. Show it all the love you can. Be with the child as much as possible.
It may mean you will have to miss some meetings, and you will lose out the joy and privilege of gathering with the saints in the assembly.
But what a service for God you can perform in the home. What a use for God you can be in the home.
Of course, we see, don't we, the sacrifice of Anna in this respect. She says, he's lent to the Lord.
Lovely language, that.
She lent him. In other words, she gave him back to the Lord. The child of her prayers. She lent him to the Lord.
That indeed was a sacrifice. But as we shall see tonight, she was not the loser. No, 1,000 times no. Excuse a little personal reference. When I was born, it appears, I was told later, the doctor gave me 24 hours to live. Came the next morning, expecting to find me dead. He was amazed to find me still alive. He said, all I can say is, he knew my parents and my grandmother, all I can say is this child has been prayed for. Apparently my dear grandmother stayed up all night pulling stuff out of my mouth to save my life. And in the morning, while my dear mother was crying, she said to her, my dear, this child is only lent to you. My mother said to me, I thought that was an awful thing to say. Years later, she came to experience the truth of what my grandmother said.
Maybe my grandmother, I don't know, had discernment.
Thank God for such godly women.
And thank God for godly mothers, like indeed Anna, that was unselfish and was prepared to sacrifice the child to the Lord.
Even though she knew she was going to leave him in an ungodly, evil environment. What lessons we can learn from this D dear woman Anna, I'd love to develop it as sacrifice. You prepare, dear mother, to make a sacrifice for your child, to spend your time with it, to pray with it, to pour into its little ears the wonderful stories of the Saviour, to bring them up in the nurture and fear of the Lord. It'll cost you something. These years are so very, very important. And of course, she said, for this child, I prayed. Isn't that lovely? One has said, a home without prayer is like a house without a roof on it, exposed to all the elements and adverse weather. We cannot do without prayer in the home, especially on the part of parents, and even more, the mother, her sacrifice. Think with me of a song. In this song or prayer, even a prophecy, if you will, she speaks of the glory of God's person, what he is. She speaks of the greatness of his power and what he has done. She speaks of the grandeur of his purpose, what he will yet do. And there's that prophecy in verse 10 of the bringing in of the King, God's anointed, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous vision this woman had. You know, when I look at the song of the mother, Hannah, I learn this. She knew God. She speaks of six characteristics of God. She knew God. Not only did she know God, she knew the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. You cannot carefully read the Song of Anna without realizing and being impressed with the fact that she was steeped in the Word of God. Many of her references to God come from the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus, and even the reference to God as the rock to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. She knew the word of God. Is it wrong for a sister to be well informed? To know the scriptures? Sometimes there's a tendency in the part of sisters, I suppose, and I understand, not to read too much the scriptures. Well, after all, I'm just a silent nonentity in the seat. You're more than that, dear sister. You're precious to God. Your presence is very much required and very significant, with your head covering and subjection and silence in the assembly. Oh, there may be a tendency on the part of a sister, yes, because they do not have to take public part. Therefore, why should I read the Word of God? Well, you need to read the Word of God for your own soul. And in very especially, you need to read the Word of God to get acquainted with the Word of God so that you can instill into that child of yours the precious truth of God. Pour into it the precious truth of God. I've met some dear sisters, and it's obvious they know the Word of God. A long time ago in Australia, I had a large chart on Paul's missionary journeys, and I was speaking in Acts chapter 13, and we'll be doing that in the Bible reading on Wednesday, God willing. Whatever I'd said, I can't remember now, but this sister came to me, and she says, "Brother, I don't agree with you." She's very gracious. "Oh, what was that?" "Well, you said this and you said that." My, did she know the scriptures. And it was one of my toughest assignments, trying to answer her. She was wrong, of course. But what I'm getting at is this. She knew the Word of God. And it was a pleasure to speak with her. It really was. Here's a woman, dear Anna, she knew the Word of God. She knew God. She knew the need. Oh, she did. What a tremendous song it is. It begins with Anna speaking of her exaltation and how God has blessed her And it ends in verse 10, doesn't it, with God exalting the Saviour, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this to you? After leaving dear Samuel in the temple, it wouldn't have surprised me in the least if Anna had gone home weeping. You couldn't find fault with that, could you? But instead of weeping, it's an outburst of praise to God. Isn't that tremendous? Oh, how this woman knew God. How important the role in the home of a mother is. What a blessing a Christian mother who knows the scriptures, who knows God, can be to the children. Oh, I know it's tough. Family life. And there are many pressures. Many pressures. But try to have a little time alone, dear mother, with your God and with the scriptures. And impart what you know to that little child of yours. The years will come by, speed by very quickly, as was the case with Samuel. He grew, he developed, and so on, and he became, in chapter 3, the man, the prophet. Time will pass all so quickly. It's good to spend time with children. And sometimes I meet them in homes where I stay. And not too long ago, I was preparing for a very large Bible reading, and the mother gave the little girl strict instructions on no account to go into Mr. Stubbs's room. He's studying. But of course, 5 minutes later, the door opened, and in she crept with Thomas the Tank, and sat on my knee, and I had to read Thomas the Tank, and all about James, and I forget all the names now, you know. And I thought, goodness me, some preparation for a Bible reading. I better be careful and not talk about Thomas the Tank in the reading. They'll wonder where I'm going. But you know, I enjoy the little time. And don't you think the preachers don't have nerves and get a little bit worked up? We do. We want to do our best. We want to give of our best. We want to help the Lord's people. And it's a very real thing. You need to pray for the servants of God. And you know, I was thankful for that little time of joy with that little spend time with the children. Play with them. Take an interest in them. And you, dear mothers, oh, cry to God for God's help that you may bring him up or her up in the nurture and fear of the Lord. Her sacrifice, oh, she made a sacrifice. Her song, what a song it is. Then, of course, her sewing. I like this. Moreover, verse 19, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Don't you think this is great? Isn't this a mother's care? Samuel might have been out of sight in the sanctuary along with Eli, but as far as Hannah was concerned, he was not out of mind. She would think of him every day. And with what loving care she would prepare this coat and how she would sew it so patiently and lovingly. And this yearly visit for both the child Samuel and Anna, the mother, must have been a real time of joy to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
And as I said in my introduction, she expected the little child to grow. And she would make a bigger coat. You know, let me just bring in a practical lesson again. Isn't it great to see in chapter 2, the child grew. The child grew. The child grew. There was development, you see. What about us? We cannot blame conditions and circumstances for our failure. and say it's too hard, not worth going in for the things of God. Things are difficult enough, we'll just have to hold on. It shows the possibilities of a life for God, even in an ungodly environment, in an environment of adverse circumstances in which Samuel was set. I mean, look at the chapter. The priesthood was defiled. Verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. The offering of the Lord was despised. Look at verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. How tragic. And then thirdly, the tabernacle was desecrated. Look at verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. How terribly wicked, how dreadfully horrible. And here's a little child. Goes on and develops year by year and gets the larger coat. I'm affected personally by all the defilement all around him. What a word that is for us. Are we developing? Are we growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? What about our Christian dress? As we think of Colossians chapter 12, there are seven items of garments. You can call that, if you like, the Christian's wardrobe. It's a lovely wardrobe. And all those seven things that Paul exhorts the Colossians to put on, all reflect the Lord Jesus, all speak of him. I want to say to you tonight, and don't misunderstand me, how are we wearing Christ? What a privilege, what an honor, child of God, to wear Christ, to put on the Lord Jesus and exhibit him in our lives. Are we going on? Are we developing? Despite our conditions? Don't make them the excuse. Do you know what the largest room in the world is? It'd be worth coming all the way from Mayfield for this one. The largest room in the world is the room of improvement. And you and I should never be satisfied to be spiritually static, standing still, not making progress, or rest content on past progress. That will not do. It'll hamper present and continuous progress. We must go on with the Lord, like Samuel. He grew before the Lord. He ministered to the Lord. Why? When he was but a child at the end of chapter 1, he worshipped the Lord. Oh, you'll agree with me. We do have many lessons. Anna's sacrifice. Great sacrifice. Anna's song, Anna's sowing. Hannah's seed. You know, she came to the Lord of hosts. I hope you caught and took in what our dear brother said. That's the first occurrence of that great expressive title, the Lord of hosts. He has mighty armies at his disposal. All are under his control. How significant she addresses the Lord in that way. She's only coming to the Lord for one thing, for one child. That's what she's praying for. That's what she's burdened about. And she comes to one who is the Lord of hosts. Can't he answer her cries? Can't he meet her need? And bring into Israel what Mr. William Faraday, in reference to Samuel, he has called him God's emergency man. In many ways he was. Did she lose out? Three sons and two daughters she further produced, the 500 interest. God opened her womb again. She was not a loser. What does the hymn say? We lose what on ourselves we spend, but have as treasure without end. Whatever to thee we lend, who givest all. If you're prepared to place your life on the altar,
If, dear mother, you're prepared to make a sacrifice and be selfless and spend time with your dear children and read to them, try to form their character, pour into them the wonderful truths of the Word of God and tell them of the need of salvation, I tell you this,
I'm well worth it. You will not be the loser. For certainly, Anna was not the loser. She received further seed and offspring. Her sacrifice. Great.
Her song. Oh, that was great too.
Yes. Her sewing. Spending time in the home. Out of love for Samuel, absent from the home. Caring so much for him. Sewing and preparing this new garment for the next yearly visit. What an influence for God a mother can be. Even in spite of difficulties. And when that child of yours goes out into the big world and into university, just leave the child with God. Leave all the consequences with him. Some of my brethren in the past, as I finish, have said that there is significance in that quite a number of the kings of Judah we read, his mother's name was, his mother's name was, his mother's name was. That suggests this, and I agree with them.
That the mother was either an influence for good
on the future king, or an influence for evil. Some journalists had compiled a list of different people that had influenced the life of Churchill. They wanted him to peruse it before it was published. Gentlemen, he said, you have forgotten the most important person in my life that has influenced my life more than any of these. In fact, they said, my mother. My mother. For I understand he loved his American mother very much indeed. I hope, dear child, boy or girl, you love your mother and you show your love for your mother. May God bless these things.